Thank you, Pastor. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, here we are once again. Thank you for the gift of life and the privilege of fellowship once again. Thank you for making us trophies of your grace and your mercies and kindness and faithfulness. Father, we have come to renew strength. We have come that you will revive our souls. We pray that none of us will leave your presence as we came. May your word find its rightful place in our hearts. Speak and help us listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our message tonight is titled, The Power, The Influence of a Heaven-Focused Life. The life that is directed towards heaven. The life that looks beyond the here and now. What kind of influence, what kind of power does that life have? The life that looks at the land that is far away. Not just looking at Sodom, but looking beyond Sodom, beyond the things that glitter. What kind of influence does that life have, and what kind of influence does it carry? Turn with me to Colossians, and we'll be reading there from chapter 3, and then the verse is 1. Colossians 3, the verse is 1. If ye then be risen with Christ. What does it mean to rise with Christ? It means you are born again. You are a child of God. You are called by the name of Christ. If, on condition that you carry that title. In other words, if you are a Christian, then the thing that follows as a consequence of your identification with Christ is this: seek those things which are above. That is the heaven-focused life, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your desires, your pursuits, your longings on things above, not on things on the earth. And the reason is this: something happened when you said, I give my life to Jesus. What happened to you? Verse 3, for you are dead. You are dead. You are dead to the world and the motions of the world and the dictates of the world and of the flesh. For you are dead, and that your life is now hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. You know, people go through some experiences and they put their lives on the thing and they say, my life is at stake. They are writing exams, say, this is my life, I will not joke with it. No, that's not your life. It's good. It's going to give you bread and butter and put roof over your head. But Christ is our life as a child of God. Christ is our life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory, not in shame. If you have gone through verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, and 4, there is no way the appearance of Christ, the second coming of Christ, the rapture of the believers is going to leave you in shame. It will be the time for your glorification. In Acts chapter 26, we see a practical demonstration of what we are talking about this evening. Acts 26 from verse 13, we are told, this is the testimony, this is the account of Paul, the apostle. He said, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. You know, the sun is typically at its highest at midday. And if there is a certain light that can overpower the light of the sun at midday, it means that that light is an extraordinary light. At midnight, I saw the sun shining right about me, and then which journeyed with me. And when we were all falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. We were all falling to the earth, but I heard the voice. You may be in a crowd, but when the Lord calls you, he calls you alone. And you must listen to that voice, that gentle, that calm, that tender voice alone. You may be in a family, you may be in a kind of company, but the Lord speaks to you and does so to you individually. So I heard the voice, and that voice says, Saul, Saul, you are running against the wind. You are living your life in the opposite direction. And that pursuit is a fruitless one because it is difficult for you to kick against the priest. And then I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, rise, and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. And God does not waste miracles. It wasn't to show off his power. He appeared unto this man called Saul for a purpose. And he's going to spell that purpose out clear to him. And if God meets you, Christ meets you, if you encounter Christ, you need to then sit and ask and discover the purpose for which the Lord has brought you into the kingdom. Esther was told by Mordecai when she became purposeless that, oh, that thou art coming to the kingdom for such a time as this, that the Lord planted her in the palace for a particular purpose. So the Lord tells Saul that I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. You know, it's not enough to just go with the first, you know, experience. Yeah, you got born again, you encounter Christ, you have a testimony about your salvation. That's wonderful, that's great. But that is just the beginning. The Lord told him that, I am also going to appear unto thee of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. There is more to learn after this. And none of us should come to the point where we think that I know enough. I have already read the Bible. No, it's just a fraction. And we need to sit at the feet of Christ and be schooled and be shown the mysteries of the kingdom and be ready to grow. Because when we come with the mentality that we know everything, we can't receive anything from the presence of God. I will appear unto thee. The verse is quoted and say, I know that Bible, I know that reference already. I don't need to open my Bible. No, that attitude will not profit you. And then verse 17, the Lord continues to define his purpose and his job description, why he called him, why he brought him to the kingdom. He said, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. You cannot, you know, stay and mingle with those people and still fulfill the purpose. I have delivered you from the people, from the Gentiles, and now I am sending you there, not to company with them, but as an ambassador, my ambassador. Now, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. So separate yourself so that the Lord will use you for the purpose and the ministry for which he has called you. And what is the purpose? Verse 18. To open their eyes, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light. They may say, we are well educated, this is the age of enlightenment, we walk by reason, it's individualistic, we no longer follow tradition and doctrine. But the more they know, the more they become, you know, very ignorant of spiritual things. So go and open the eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. When the Lord revealed this to me, I didn't say, God, can you please give me some time to settle this? Can we discuss this later next year? I am busy now with this, busy with my studies, busy with my work. Family life is a bit challenging. I was not disobedient because the vision was not an earthly one, it was a heavenly vision. And if there is something to commit the rest of your life to, it is this heavenly vision. But what did I do? How did I demonstrate my obedience? I showed it first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do the works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Opposition will always come. Anytime you want to do something honorable for God, expect opposition. The Lord appeared unto him, and the Lord in fact told Ananias that he must suffer many things for my sake. And when afflictions and suffering and tests come, it doesn't mean that God has abandoned us and the vision of God and the communication we received didn't actually come from God. In fact, if you are really in the will of God, you will have more opposition. But the good news is that the Lord will go with you and his will and his purpose will stand. The Jews went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witness both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. You know, some of us know the vision. We start with the vision. We are zealous with the vision, but we don't carry it through. We do it for a month, a week, a year, and then we abandon it. But he said, I continue on to this day. I pray the Lord will give you the spirit of continuity. You will hold on, you will press on despite the challenges and difficulties and fulfill the heavenly vision. That Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus speak for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning does make thee mad. When you begin to pursue this heavenly vision, the world will call you mad. They wouldn't understand you. Your family may not understand you. Your wife may not understand you. Your husband may not understand you. Your siblings may not understand you. They will call you mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. I know what I am about. What a conviction, what a discovery of purpose for living and for life. I pray our testimony will be so. And the Lord will carry us higher, far above, in Jesus' name. You know, we only have one life and a window. And it is eternity, it is there that is going to determine how well that life was spent. Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes that The heart of the person who is wise is in the house of mourning. In other words, the wise person, you know, revels and, you know, learns so much from funeral. But the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Mirth means celebration, enjoyment, party, you know. Because when we go to such places, when people have left this world, we begin to reflect on life and begin to see, Lord, how is my own life? Where am I going? What's my destination? What's my purpose for living? What have I accomplished relative to what you called me to do? The Lord wants us to take a stock of our lives and see where we are going and whether we are fulfilling the purpose for which He has called us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 15, the word of God tells us, 2 Corinthians 5:15, and that He died for all, that they which live and call themselves Christians should not henceforth live unto themselves. Because Christ didn't die for us to live for ourselves. But how do we now live? But unto Him which died for them and rose again. We no longer live unto ourselves, but we live unto Him who died for us and who has risen again. Campbell is telling us that it is easy to live more or less in the enjoyment of God's free grace and yet not realize that we are called to fulfill a divinely appointed purpose. We are called to fulfill a divinely appointed purpose. And if you haven't discovered that, you will today. And you will pray that the Lord will show you that. In our first point of discussion, we are looking at the infancy and the infamy. That big but small word, what does it mean? The dishonor. The notoriety, notorious, infamous person. The infancy and infamy of a heaven-focused life. How can a heaven-focused life be infamous? It starts from somewhere. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. And the verse there is 23. Hebrews 11, verse 23. In verse 23, we are told, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw with the eye of eternity that he was a proper child, that child was not a child of accident, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Mother, that baby you are cuddling, that baby in your bosom, is on a mission. Whatever the circumstances surrounding the birth of that child is, whether that pregnancy was planned or not, that baby is a proper child. The Lord has sent that child on a mission, and you want to do the best you can to position that child to fulfill the divinely appointed purpose for his or her life. In Exodus chapter 2, Exodus chapter 2, reading there from verse 11, and it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren, and he looked this way and he looked that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Moses, this was a proper child. Moses has committed murder here. When he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, 2 men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou hast killed this Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. This murder I committed wasn't, after all, a secret. It is known. Now what did he do? Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Did you see the infamy of that life? We saw the infancy of that life. But that life was to be characterized by this infamy we just read about. But it was still a heaven-focused life, as we discovered it. In Galatians chapter 1, let's read verse 15 and 16, and then rather go back to 13. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 and verse 16. This is obviously Paul the Apostle we read about a while ago. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the brethren, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Remember, you told King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And Paul is now looking back and appreciating the fact that, oh, my calling was actually from the womb. That infancy actually defined who I will become. But we later will see the infamy that followed the infancy of this heaven-focused life. Now look at verse 13. For you have heard of my conversation. Is that the way he talked? No. My lifestyle, my behavior, my conduct in time past, in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. What an infamy of life. And then Acts chapter 8, verse 1 actually gives us further details to this life. Acts 8, verse 1 to 3. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Who's dead? This was Stephen. What an infamy. He was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and led great lamentation, great weeping over him. Oh, what a life that life was. It may have been a short life, but it was definitely a heaven-focused life. And then the moment we are presented with the life of Stephen in verse 2, we are met with the contrast, the infamy in verse 3. As for Saul, he made a havoc of the church, entering into every house and healing, carrying men and women, committed them to prison. That infamy. Brothers and sisters, great men of God have often had very difficult beginnings. But God is patient, and he has always proven himself patient. Anytime, you know, this was the vessel the Lord was going to use to change the entire Gentile world. It was through this infamous life that the gospel will reach you and me. But look at how this life began. But the Lord patiently waited for him. And it has always been so, that God is not in a rush. I pray the Lord will help us adopt His peace as His children, the patience of God. Anytime God wants to change dispensations, He wants to change the world, He doesn't send a man, He sends a baby. He sends a baby. That's why the gift of a baby is a blessing. In Jeremiah chapter 1, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, before, not during, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Children, when they are telling you about evolution, you tell them that before the Lord, I even got into my mother's womb, the Lord knew me. I am not a product of Darwin's evolution. Before I was formed in the belly and I came out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. What? So the Lord, this was the man the Lord was going to use to warn His people about the impending, you know, exile. But He had to send a baby. He could have sent a man. And He could. But a baby was to come to accomplish that. Then I said, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. I have a heavenly vision for you. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And He told him, opposition will be there. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations. I patiently waited for you, Jeremiah, for this day. Set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. I sent you on a mission and for a purpose. I pray the Lord will help you to discover why He sent you to your mother and father. Why you didn't get aborted. But the Lord preserved you and kept you. Matthew 1, 20. And 21. It's been silent in the house. Go ahead and read for us if you've seen it. Matthew 1, 20, 21. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21.
Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
God bless you, my brother. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And this child of the Holy Ghost, his name will be Jesus, and he's going to save his people, God. You want to save your people? Can't you just, couldn't Christ have come as a man, matured already? Why did he send a baby? The infancy, the patience of God. I pray the Lord will help us adopt His patience. I don't know the direction your life is headed now. And whether you can look back like Paul, you can look back like Jeremiah, you can look back like Moses and say, I am living the purpose for which God sent me here. Maybe the life you've spent so far has been one of dishonor, but today, As you encounter Christ, this may be your own Damascus. The Lord, your porter, will change the course of the rest of your life to be a life of honor unto Him. I pray it will be so for you in Jesus' name. We now look at the indelible influence of a heaven-focused life. The life that is directed towards fulfilling the will of God. What kind of power, what kind of influence does it have? Such lives have proven to be very, very impactful. And they leave the world with an influence that is indelible. Of course, a positive influence. In Hebrews chapter 11, reading from verse 24 to 27, Hebrews 11, 24 to 27. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction. It didn't happen by happenstance. It didn't occur to him. It was a deliberate choice. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach, the insult, the abuse of Christ greater riches, wealth than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He was looking beyond this life. It was a heavenly sight, focus he had. By faith he forsook, look at the words, refused, chose, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The invisible is the heavenly. It's not, you know, what you can see now and touch now. You don't see. We walk by faith and not by sight. And when he made that choice and that decision, what happened to that life? In Deuteronomy 34, verse 5 tells us, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died. He wasn't a servant of Pharaoh. He became a servant of the Lord. Despite the infamy in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. Oh, what an influence, an indelible influence Moses made on that life of Joshua. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel, like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. That is the indelible influence of this life. There arose not a prophet since in Israel, like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all that great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. We read about the life of Paul a while ago. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15 and read verse 9 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10. He says, I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle because of the infamous life I led and how I wasted the church of God and caused havoc to it. I am not qualified to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I am what I am. I change course. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. I pray you will not waste the grace of God upon your life. The messages you are receiving, all that the Lord is using to build you up, let it not be waste. Let it not be in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And who will deny the influence, the indelible influence of the life? 13 or 14, if you add Hebrews, of that book, of the New Testament. It's from this life that was yesterday, once upon a time, an infamous one. What an indelible influence. He made an impact. He left his mark. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 to 14, he tells us, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. I left my mark there. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident, bold in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. That is an indelible influence. In verse 19 to 21, he tells us, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Christ shall be magnified in my body. What a purpose for living. Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it is going to be by life or by death. My purpose is that Christ will be magnified in my body. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. For to me, I have defined my purpose for life. To live is Christ. And to die is even a gain. If I am to die in the cause of Christ, that's even better. That is the life of influence. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, as this life was ebbing, as this life was waning, as this life was perishing, he goes back and makes an assessment of his life. And then he tells us, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. All of us will depart one way or the other. Except the rapture comes, we will all depart. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, my race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also, that love is appearing. That is the influence. That is the influence. Let the rest of your life, of this God-given life, because it is not yours, be heaven for God. And you need to allow God to redirect your focus so that you and me, we can also leave our mark, an indelible one for God. As we wrap up, let's read 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 from verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us, because he was sent on a mission, and he didn't allow him to distract him from that mission. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us, now arm yourself likewise with the same mind, this heaven-focused mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the last of men. Brothers and sisters, this is the charge, that we no longer live the rest of our time in the flesh, in this body, to the last of men, but how? To the will of God. In other words, we have served the flesh and the world enough. It is time to dedicate and rededicate the rest of our life to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentile. We have had enough. We have done enough to please the world. When we walked in lasciviousness, life of license and without self-control, lust, excess of wine, revelings, parties, banquetings, and abominable adulteries, wherein they think it strange, after you have discovered your purpose, your company, your friends, they will think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riots, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. The end of all things is at hand. It's visible everywhere. And because of that, we need this sobriety and prayer. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. The power, the influence of a life that is heaven-focused. You want to bring your life before God. Have you discovered why God sent you to this earth? Moses' parents knew. Paul knew that right from the womb the Lord separated him. Jeremiah got the message. And you are not an exception. However difficult your upbringing might have been, regardless of the circumstances that surrounded your birth, the Lord sent you on a mission and for a divine purpose. When Paul discovered his vision, he ran with it and said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And he said, when the Lord made that vision clear to him, he said that I didn't confer with flesh and blood. I didn't hold a meeting with anyone to say, should I do it or I shouldn't do it? I ran. Let God order your steps. Let him redefine your direction and your focus. The time past of our life may suffice us to have the will of the Gentiles. It's time to rededicate and fully dedicate the rest of this life to our Maker. It is his. Pastor, please take it out. Brethren, let us commit our life to the Lord. We've heard the word of God very sound and very clear. The power of a heaven-focused life. How focused are you to the divine purpose? Or maybe you have not even discovered that purpose. In our text, we saw that Paul was called for a purpose. In spite of his challenging beginning, but the Lord knew what he would eventually be. And to tell us that every purpose must be persecuted. The world will give you names. If you have just given your life to Jesus, and then you discover that you are facing challenges from those that you loved or loved you so much in the past, that is, this word, this message should speak and minister to you personally. Let's open our mouth and begin to pray. If you have not yet discovered why you are living, why are you in Finland at this time? Why are you a child of God at this particular challenging period in human history? We need to know why we are alive. A life without purpose is a life not worth living. We're going to pray tonight and ask the Lord, open my eyes, O God, to know what you have called me to do. Let me start with you. If you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, are you on the platform? You join our prayer meetings. You join our revival service as we'll just have it now. Bible study, you are there. Every meeting, you are there. But you cannot tell if you've got an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Until you know him, you may not know a purpose. Let's forget about the secular dreams and aspirations that will pursue. All those ephemera, they will end here on earth. For the Bible says, if only in this world we have hope in Christ Jesus, we are of all men most miserable. Let's open our mouth. Pray, brother, sister, if you are here, but you have not known the Lord. I mean, you're not yet a child of God. I mean, there is no witness in your soul that you are a child of God, then you do not have purpose. Then there is no clear trajectory you are following. Let's open our mouth and tell the Lord, oh God, save my soul. Pray, tell the Lord, I turn to you this evening. Youths, you are there. You know you are not born again. You know the things you do in the absence of your parents. This is the time to open your mouth and tell the Lord, oh God, save me. Lord, save me, for everything on earth here will perish with the using. The world will be burned with fire. Where will you be? If only you come to church here, you join the services because that dear mommy are present. We are going to pray, oh Lord, save me. I want the purpose to be revealed in my life. As I give my life to you today, I come before you, O God. I lay down my pride. I lay down my stubbornness. I lay down my waywardness. I lay down my sinful lifestyle. I come before you, Lord. Help me, O God. Pray the Lord will help you. He is here. That is why we are here this evening. He will hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Brethren, now you have heard the word. You are already in the kingdom. According to the first of wedding, the infancy and infamy of a heaven-focused life. Somehow you look at your past. You discover all the challenges and so on. Maybe like Jeremiah, you count yourself unworthy to be used of the Lord. You cannot be worse than Jeremiah. How about Moses, as we learned it this evening?
that after his birth, his parents saw that he was a peculiar child. He was dropped by the river bank. And through the intervention of God, he lived. In spite of that, he committed. I mean, he was a murderer, but the will of God was following him. If time, I mean, permits, so there are many of such people, as you have heard about Paul the Apostle, that those who executed Stephen had their strong support from Paul as they dropped their belongings with him. How about to David? David, the idolater. We're going to pray that the Lord, oh God, your past will not hinder the power of God in your life. Your infancy and your infamy, the dishonor, shameful or disgraceful things you have done in the past will not dog you so much that you spent your life regretting the person or focusing in that present and looking up into what God will do for you and through you. Let's open our mouth and pray. Oh God, help me. The infancy, do you count yourself incapable like Jeremiah? There is something in you. There is a lion in you. All you need to do is to release yourself. Release yourself. If Paul could be used, you can be used. Are you counting of all the famous things you have done? Remember, Moses was a murderer. He was a murderer. David was an adulterer. But God used these people. We are going to pray today because if you cannot forgive yourself, you cannot forget the past, it will continue to haunt you. We're going to pray and tell the Lord this evening, oh God, I come before you. Help me, O Lord, as I look into this man you have used. My life shares similarity with some of them. If you could use David, you will use me. How about Moses, oh God? From all the church had passed to the extent that they killed somebody, but the Lord was following him. Then, Lord, I release myself to you. Oh God, my infancy will not withhold me. My infamous background will not withhold me from being used by you, oh God. I come before you. Paul says, when the will of God was revealed to me, I conferred not with flesh and blood. This is one decision you must make this evening. As the word of God is coming, tell the Lord, I am not going to look back. As soon as David heard that the king called him, he left his parents behind. Moses was not afraid to go before Pharaoh to demand the release of the children of Israel because he had a backing of the Almighty God. He forgot a past. That the Pharaoh that sought to kill him, if he goes before Pharaoh, it will be an opportunity, an easy card for Pharaoh. But because he had the mandate of God, he could go before Pharaoh and stand boldly and demand the release of the children of Israel without being afraid. We're going to put our mouth and tell another, so God, you are going to confront your past this evening and tell the Lord and say, Father, today, oh God, every infamy I erected in the past, today, oh God, I face them. They will not stop me from achieving what you want me to be. Open my eyes to know this road you want me to take. Like Jeremiah, who will always cry and tell the Lord, I am unworthy. I am a child. I am a baby. And the Lord told him, even before your conception, I knew you. Can you imagine that even while he was in his mother's womb, God said, I knew you. You don't call yourself a baby. Is the Lord ministering to you this evening? He has ministered to you this evening. Don't call yourself a baby. Don't think you are unworthy to do the work of God. The Lord can use you. There is a spark. You know it. Release yourself. The Lord will use you. He is looking for men and women. We are in the end time. This is the last days, like Joel prophesied. He said, my sons and my children will prophesy the dreams. but you are withholding yourself from being used by the Lord. Don't count on your infancy. Don't count on your infamy. So long as you sincerely have given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, look into the future with hope. The word of God is there. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The moment he assured Jeremiah woke up and he did not look back any longer. The moment he assured Moses rose up. He was ready to dear Pharaoh. The moment David realized this is the will of God, he was all out to do the will of God. Brethren, if you want to live a worthy life for the Lord, you don't have to look back. There is a reason why our eyes are not at our back. Our eyes are in our front. Our eyes are in our front. You cannot make progress. You cannot make a successful journey when your eyes are still at the back. Oh, Lord, I will make progress. Open my eyes, oh God, to know your will. To know your will. To know your will. All the infancy experiences and infamous dealings that have become a very huge mountain before me, Lord, I crush them this evening. I crush them this evening. I will be what you want me to be. I will pursue your will, oh God. I will pursue your will. The road may be rough. I will pursue your will. Remember, God does not use able people, intellectuals. He uses even those that the world has discarded. That is why he is always there to confirm the wisdom of the wise. Let's pray and tell the Lord, I'm available. Lord, lay your hands on me. I'm here, oh God. I'm here, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Brethren, here we'll come to another important point. The indelible influence of a heaven-focused life. How influential is your life? Maybe because of the lifestyle you lived before, you feel that you cannot make an impact. You feel that nobody will listen to you. Even in your family, you may nobody even cares whether you are living or you are alive. But remember, when once Jesus touches you, you are no more ordinary. You become extraordinary. What life are you living? Paul the Apostle challenged us this evening that while he was still in prison, the brethren, based on how influential he was to them, they were ready to dare anything. That Paul testified in what the letter he wrote to the Philippian church. Men and brethren, the Lord is challenging us this evening. And so he told us in that Philippians chapter 1 in verse 13. And he says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all other places and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bond, by my incarceration, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Brethren, we are going to pray. I cannot leave this world without impacting others for Jesus. How many people have you spoken to about Jesus? You've made them to know about the love of Jesus. Oh, influential life. We're not looking about social influence. We're not looking about intellectual influence. We're not looking about financial influence. We're looking about spiritual influence. That your aura, when once somebody thinks about you, he knows you carry this spiritual aura. You carry this power of the Holy Ghost. This evening, let us open our mouth and begin to pray. Oh, God, help me. I want to spend my life in your presence that I may turn men and women unto the kingdom, unto the kingdom, unto the kingdom. Let's pray. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Even here in Europe, brother, you can influence a life for Jesus. Sister, you can influence a life for Jesus. That is the reason why God has brought you to be here in this country or has even caused you to hear this message. That somebody will remember you and say, thank God for that brother. Thank God for that sister. It was because of him. It was because of her that I discovered my purpose. Or this happened or that happened. We're going to pray and tell the Lord, oh God, I am available. Use me, oh God, lay your hands upon me, oh God. I need your power in my soul. I need your power in my soul. Even if the world hates you, all those wonderful friends of yours before, you seem not to understand, they may have turned against you, but by the power and the grace of God, when they see what the Lord is doing through you, they will certainly come back to you. Let's pray. Tell the Lord, oh God, I'm here. Touch me this evening. I want to live like Paul the Apostle lived. Oh, he discovered this purpose and he ran for it. He was before presidents and kings. He was never scared of speaking about Jesus, even at the threat of his life. At one time, a prophet came and told the people, whoever has this girdle, if he goes to Jerusalem, he will be killed. Paul and everybody began to cry. Paul said, what mean ye that you cry and tear my heart? I'm ready not just to go to Jerusalem, but to die for that. That is the man that has known the purpose. That is the man that knows what he's doing. That is the man that has discovered Calvary. That is the man that is no of this, but no more of the world. Let's open our mouth and tell the Lord, oh God, I want to live for you. I want to live for you. You heard in the Bible study on Tuesday that some of them, the Lord commanded to do some things that sound weird to us as humans. Some of them he said they should drink or eat excreta. Some of them he asked to go and marry harlots just to prove a point and demonstrate he's dealing with the children of Israel. Let's open our mouth and tell the Lord, oh God, I will do what you want me to do. Help me, oh God. I cannot just fizzle out in this world without impacting a soul, without leaving an indelible mark for you. I will influence life. I will influence souls. I will live for your glory. I will live for your glory. I will seek your glory. Oh God, open my eyes that I may discover what you have called me to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Brethren, as we conclude now, very important prayer point. You have heard the word of God. You came to this country. It is not just to look for money. I mean, if we analyze it, that you have a wife or you are married as a sister, you've got your apartment, you got children, you are working, and then you grow old and then you die. And what a difference do we make from those that don't know the Lord? And that is why we are going to pray that God help me and draw me closer. In your city, there is need for workers. Have you submitted yourself to work for the Lord? There is a need for somebody who has your talent to plow that talent in the service of God. We're going to open our mouth and tell them and say, God, oh God, this truancy in your house, I will not play this truancy any longer. Oh God, this nonchalancy in your house, I'm turning over a new leaf. I want to live for you. If you have all the euros in this part of the world, it will never still be enough. But Christ in you is the hope of glory. That you have Jesus, that is all. That is all. And of course, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All other things shall be added to it. Let's pray, oh God, I will seek your glory. I will seek your glory. My life is for you. I will discover the purpose for which I'm alive, oh God. For in Jesus' name we pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your mercies. Oh Lord, we bless you. You want us to live a life of purpose. And you have used your servant to expound and expatiate unto us why and how we should live for you. Lord, you gave us examples, people like Moses. Oh Lord, though he had a very checkered past, people like Paul the Apostle, oh God, and all of them. Father, you are reassuring us today that in spite of our past, our future is glorious with you. Our future is great with you. We want to pray this evening for all your children, oh God, who are being held by their infancy and the infamy, all the infamous things they fed, you cannot forgive them. And they're asking for forgiveness. Holy Father, have mercy upon them in Jesus' name. Lord, if you could forgive Moses and Paul the Apostle for all the heinous crimes he committed against you and your glory, yet you used him and through him we have life today as Gentiles. You can still have these people and use them. We pray pray for everyone, oh God, in that category. Lord, receive them to your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. And for those who have known you already, Father, but they are undecided, they are indecisive, oh God, they don't know what to do for you. As you opened Paul the apostle's eyes, you told him, go to the Gentiles. And through him, the Gentiles today has received your glory. We are praying that, Father, by your power, oh God, help them, Father, in Jesus' name. Father in heaven, we are praying for as many, oh God, who have actually prayed this evening, asking for guidance and direction, how to plow their life unto you and live for you. Lord, as you guided Jeremiah, you guided David, you guided Moses, you guided every one of us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the life of our national overseer. He has committed himself to do your will. Oh God, you will bless him as well. And Father, as dear children, when he sees our conduct and character and attitude to your work, Father, he will be happy. Lord, all the truancy and nonchalancy, they will be gone in Jesus' name. Help us by your power. We bless your name because you have answered. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me hear if you heard me. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much. God bless you.